you find the book of Lamentations. It's after Jeremiah, if that helps you any. Give you a minute to find that. Jeremiah had a very hard life, church. He was challenged very, very much. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5 talks about how God called him in his mother's womb, formed him, and was going to cause him to be a prophet of the nations. So he had a call from the womb of what he was going to do. Now, we like to pick our call sometimes, don't we? We like to pick our purpose, but it don't happen that way. We have to follow the purpose and plan God gives our lives. And Jeremiah was not to be a prophet of a lot of good news. He was not to be called to be a prophet of hurrah, hurrah, yay, yay, Jesus loves you, all this stuff. His call was to warn the people of Israel to turn away from their sins and repent. He was called to warn them that if they didn't, the judgment of God and wrath of God would come upon them. So it wasn't a job that any of us want to sign up for, because it wasn't very popular. And nobody wanted to be around him very much. He lived a very lonely life. In fact, he wasn't even allowed to marry, if you read scripture about that, or to have kids because of the call in his life. And for 40 years he had this call. 40 years he had this ministry where he proclaimed the coming judgment of God if people did not repent and turn from their ways. Jeremiah was, at one time, he was imprisoned and charged with a capital crime for saying that the temple of God would be destroyed. And so he was arrested, but later released. He was arrested more than one time and put in prison. At one point, they took Jeremiah and they threw him in this, what they call a cintern, which was like a liquid tube-like tank in the ground. They threw him in there and left him to die. And then someone rescued him and got him out of there. Jeremiah's life was hard. Jeremiah's life was lonely. Jeremiah didn't have very many friends. But the one thing Jeremiah did was he stayed faithful to the call on his life. He stayed true to proclaiming the word of God in a world of iniquity and rebellion and rejection. He didn't fail. He stayed steadfast and he stayed true. His life was filled with much hardship and much pain, but to the very end, Jeremiah was declaring God's word and doing what God called him to do. It's a lesson for all of our lives that we don't always get the jobs we want. We don't always have the calls we desire, and we got to be careful not to try to walk in someone else's call or purpose. We must stay where God's put us. The old saying, stay in your lane, right? God wants to stay in our lane, do our part, and then he's got others to do other parts, and those parts work together. So we're going to pick up in the book of Lamentations, written by Jeremiah, and just hear some, you can hear his heart crying out here of his sorrow and his pain. Now, this message is to encourage us, to help us, because I believe in real-world application, okay? And all of us in here are going through some kind of pain, and we need hope in our lives. We need hope for something. We need deliverance from something, healing from something. We need joy in something. We're battling something, all of us. We're battling something in our minds, our spirits. We're worried about our future. We're pained by our past. We're worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. All of us are battling things. And you may feel like that you are in misery right now, and maybe you are. And misery is a real thing. I mean, we, even as Christians, can walk in a state of misery at times to where we are just miserable with our lives. We're miserable with where we're at, miserable with what's happening around us, miserable with our situation. But through all that misery, his mercy is greater. Through all of our pain, his mercy is greater. Through all of our struggles and battles, diagnoses, whatever we're going through, his mercy is greater. And that's what we're going to focus on. This is what Jeremiah finally came to conclusion of after his emotional rant here in Jeremiah chapter 3. Let's start with verse 1. I am the man that has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me, brought me into darkness and not into light. Have any of us been in a dark place where we saw no light? I'm there, been there in my life, have been there, and will be there again. We go through dark places, and we get into places to where it's hard to see the light because all we see is the darkness. All we see is the unanswered prayers. All we see is the pain that we're experiencing. All we see is the struggle. All we see is the tormenting lies the enemy. That's all we see. And Jeremiah's in this place. I mean, think about Jeremiah. God, I'm doing what you called me to do. I'm preaching your word. I'm obeying you. Yet I'm being put in prison. Yet I'm being run out of town. Yet I'm being persecuted and talked about. Yet I couldn't marry and have kids. I mean, God, my whole life's been sold out to you. Yet I'm afflicted and I'm a man of great sorrow. All of us experience this. And I want us to be real today because we need to know the realness of God's mercy and the realness and depth of God's love. This is not a pom-pom, sugarcoat life that we live in the best of worlds. You know, there are struggles and there are pains in the best of world. No matter how you're raised, no matter what background you come from, there's going to be times in your lives that you experience things you don't want to experience. You're going to experience something in your childhood, in your teen years, in your young years, in your older years, things are going to come against us that we didn't ask for and that we don't want and that seem unfair. But through all of that, remember, his mercy is greater than what you're battling. He says, surely against me he is turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. Have you ever felt that way? You ain't got to answer out loud because it might be an unholy thing in your head. But have you ever felt, God is not hearing me? God, have you turned from me a little bit? Or God, do I still matter to you? Because I don't understand. As Melanie says, got some explaining to do about certain things, right? God, I don't understand why I'm going through these things. It doesn't make sense. We've all said these things. I was a good kid. I was a good kid in my parents. You know, I do a good job. I work hard. I pay my bills on time. I give the church. I serve God. I sing in the choir. I do all these things. God, I do good stuff. Why am I always behind the eight ball, so to speak? Why can't I ever catch a break? We've all experienced that, and we all feel that way sometimes. And it's okay to feel that way because, as Melanie has learned, or you know, through her great counseling abilities, something she told me a long time ago, and it's true. I've actually used it off what she said before to other people. It is how you feel. It's how you feel. Whether you should or not, it's how you feel. Gordon knows Jesus loves him, and Gordon knows he's got a heavenly home, and Gordon knows, hallelujah, there's going to be a great reward at the end. Gordon knows these things, but doesn't mean Gordon doesn't fight discouragement and fear and depression. Doesn't mean he doesn't fight those things. It is how he feels. So what he needs in that moment is to know that, God, your mercy can overcome how I feel. I know what my future hope is. But man, the present stinks to high heaven sometimes. And man, how do I get through this? Right. It's the mercy of God that we wake up every day and able to even function. It's the mercy of God we're able to get out of bed and go to work. It's the mercy of God that we have any sanity left in our brains with what attacks our lives sometimes. Because there are hardships among all of us in here that we are battling. Some of you are battling physical hardships that you need a miracle of God. Some of you are battling inside emotional hardships that you need a deliverance. You're fighting such anxieties and strongholds and fears and demonic pulls in your life that you need a breakthrough that can only come from God. And his mercy is greater than your misery, I promise. It always. What kept Jeremiah going? Can we, man, how many of us do that job, Bill, for 40 years? You know? I mean, really? Getting up there and saying, people, God's going to destroy this city and this temple, and you're going to be prisoners of war if you don't turn away from your false worship and put God first in your life. Nobody wants to hear that. My Lord, we want to hear how all the good things God's going to do for us. Yay, Jesus. Yeah, the good stuff. But what about us? What's our responsibility in all of this? Isn't our responsibility to serve him, follow him, honor him, worship him, put him first above all things? Thou shalt have no graven images. They shall have no other gods before me. All that stuff. We should be honoring God. And we've lost that step a little bit, thinking that God owes us something. God don't owe me near a thing. I just thank God that he gave his life that I can have everlasting life. He didn't owe that to me. But man, I thank God for it. Jeremiah was in a dark, desperate place. He was tired. He was broken. Verse 4, my flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded me against and compassed me with gall and with travail. He hath set me in a dark place as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged about me that I cannot go out. He hath made my chain heavy. Oh, what a heaviness in life we carry sometimes. We're so heavy. We put on our smile, pretend it's okay, but inside we are heavy. We are broken. Does anybody hear our cry? Does anybody care? Does anybody know we're battling? Does anybody see beneath our outer shell to see the pain that we're in inside? Does anybody see that? Does anybody hear you? Does a song talk about that? Does anybody hear you? Does anybody hear me? Does anybody recognize or know what I'm battling? God knows. I promise you. And God cares. And Jeremiah, like I said, he's expressing how he feels right now. He says, when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. Man, have you ever felt you couldn't press through to the throne? Have you been in a place that you couldn't praise your way out of it? You couldn't pray your way through it? You couldn't fast your way around it? You're trying and you're pressing and you're in that same spot of travail and brokenness and despair. Here's where Jeremiah was. And we're talking about one of the great prophets of our Bible. A man that God used for 40 years to declare, turn from your sins and let the wrath of God be spared. But nobody would listen and nobody would hear. And he kept on preaching and nobody would change. He kept on preaching, nobody would turn. He kept on preaching, nothing happened. Think about how frustrating that must be. You raising kids, you tell your kids, right? You can just screw their head off and just pour it in there and pound it with a sledgehammer and tighten the head back and let it not escape. But you can't do that. You pour into people's lives all your life and you see no change. It becomes frustrating to that person. And here's where Jeremiah was. Don't anybody care about the Lord God Almighty? Does nobody care? Jeremiah says in verse 9, he hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait, as a lion in secret places. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. Think about it. We know what desolate means, right? Empty, barren, no life. Have we ever been there? We felt desolate. You know, there's no lily of our valley blooming. You know, our desert is dry. Our life is like tumbleweeds in an old Western movie. I mean, we're just dry. There is nothing there. We are hopeless. Jeremiah was in this place. I think it's encouraging to realize this great man of God was in this kind of place. You're not alone today. You're not fighting in a lone battle. And you're not. It doesn't mean you're a weak Christian if you're in this place. Right. It means you're a broken person in a dark place that needs the mercy of God to pull you back out. Right. And we all need that. We all in our lives need that mercy. Verse 12. He hath bent his bow, set me as a mark for the arrow. Think about that. Wow. Yes, ouch. For sure. He caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was derisive to all people and their song all the day. Look at this. Yeah, fill me with bitterness. Let's talk about that a minute. You ain't got to raise your hands. But I know some of us in here probably fight some bitterness in our lives. We're bitter. We're bitter towards someone or we're bitter towards something. We're bitter toward a situation. We're bitter because God's not hurt us. We're bitter because someone has hurt us. That bitterness is dangerous because it's a poison inside of us that if we don't let God heal it, will grow and grow and spread into our lives and cause us to play the victim card whenever you're no victim at all. That's what bitterness does. We have no right to be bitter. Jesus took care of that at Calvary. He took care of all this at Calvary. And Jeremiah knows who his God is. He's just having a really bad day. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. You have removed my soul far from peace. I forgot prosperity. Sometimes we get away from the peace of God, don't we? We lose that. I don't have that peace I used to have. All I see is the torment in front of me. All I see is the things that are going to just keep me not having peace. That's all I see. And the peace we talked about Wednesday night. We talked about this Wednesday night about peace. Last two Wednesday nights. About peace. I think that's me. I'm so sorry, guys. We talked about the peace of God. And how that peace the world doesn't give you. But God can give it to you. And the peace God gives you remains when other kind of pieces leave. If your peace is based on your job, hey, that's great. Woo! As long as you got that job. Then when that job's gone, woo! Right? You got that car? Like that car. I like that Chevy truck back there, Trey. I like his truck. Boom! All of a sudden, woo! If we attach our peace to things, that peace can be gone. But you know what? I can celebrate Jesus every day. You know why? He is risen. He is risen. And I evermore. Anyway, I can't even remember that song. Grace. He is risen. So my peace to him doesn't change. He can't be unrisen. I'm not going to wake up one day, oh, you're not alive. You know, you're not risen. He's risen. He's king. I'm not going to wake up one day, oh, you're not king no more? Because the world says you're not. No, he's always king. He'll always be king. So my peace cannot be removed if my peace is attached to that. But Jeremiah was going through a really bad spot. Then he says in verse 18, I think we can all relate to this. It gets better, though. Hang on, we'll get a little encouragement here in a couple of verses. He said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. I'm tired, he's saying. Man, I'm tired. I've been doing this, Lord, all these years, and I've been preaching and prophesying and speaking, and I've sacrificed everything to you. And here I find myself broken, in despair, in darkness, crushed in spirit, and all of my strength and all of my hope, it's all gone because I ain't got no more of that. But he's got more than he realizes, because look what happens next. Verse 19. Remembering my affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Let's remember this morning who God is and what God has done. Let's remember that he is not the one that has failed us, and he never will. Let's remember that he rose the third day to give us everlasting life. Let's remember that all of our sins under his blood have been wiped away and we're white as snow. I will remember that this is not my last stop. I will remember this flesh is not my last place. I will remember there is something waiting on me far greater than the misery that I have here on the earth. It is his mercy that died for me 2,000 years ago that grants me a future that the devil has no hold of and no influence over. He can't alter it. He can't change it. He can't erase it. He can't do anything against it. Because God has already set it in place for me. I remember that. And when I start remembering who God is and what God has done and what God can still do, then all of a sudden my mindset begins to change. I begin to look upon him and not on me. I begin to look upon his greatness and not my suffering. I begin to look at his mercy and not my misery. I begin to look at his strength and not my weakness. I begin to look at his healing and not my brokenness. I begin to look at him, the light of the world, and not the darkness of my soul. I begin to look at him when I'm hungry, when I'm thirsty, when I need something to fill me. I look to him and realize you're the only living water that quenches me. You're the only bread that fills my hunger. You're the only taste that satisfies my lips. You're the only thing that calms my nerves. You're the only thing that casts away my fear. You're the only thing that gives me hope beyond hope that I can't see. You are everything and all things into my life. And I remember that, God. I remember who you are, that your mercies endureth forever, that you never faileth and you never leaveth me, you never forsake me, you never walk away from me. That I will remember. All we see in front of us is the pain and the struggle, which is real. I get that. It's real. But if I know the mercies of God are realer than what that is, because everything bows to the name of Jesus. Every fear, every bondage, every stronghold, every battle, every giant, every issue has to bow to the name of Jesus. Remember, as in Lion King, who you are. Remember who you are. As that witch doctor monkey stirred that water and told Simba, your father is alive. And he was so excited, and he ran to the end of that brook, and he looked down. That monkey stirred that water. And all of a sudden, an image of his father appeared. He said, that's not me. That's my father. And then he heard that voice out of heaven. Earl Jones. Crying out, son, remember who you are. Remember who you are. We have to remember who we are. We are the children of the living Most High God of all creation. And the devil can't change that, not one part of it. He can't change that. I recall, therefore I have hope. When we start remembering, we start having hope again. Look at verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Mercy means loyalty and devotion is two definitions of mercies. Loyalty and devotion. It's because of the Lord's loyalty, his devotion to us, that we are not consumed. His compassions fail not. God, your mercy is greater than my misery. It's greater than what I'm battling. It's greater than the struggle. So, God, I'm going to look to you because you're where my hope and my help comes from. Where does my help come from? My help cometh from the Lord. Remember who you are. Look at verse 23. They are new every morning. His mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Now all of a sudden Jeremiah is talking a little different. He went on this very depressing rant about how bad he was. But then something clicks in during this, and he starts to remember who he is in the Lord. Yes. And then he reminds himself, but God, your mercies are new every day. Aren't you glad that we have daily bread, that we have daily strength, we have daily hope, we have daily help, we have daily healing? Because every day is different. Every day we wake up is a different presentation of what could happen. And thank God, he is in our everyday. No matter what season we are in, he's in those seasons. And Jeremiah reminds himself, God, your mercies are new every single day. Great is your faithfulness. If you want to climb out of misery today, remember the mercies of God in your life and start declaring that over your life. Lord, you are great and faithful to my life. Your mercies endureth forever. You got me through yesterday's storm. You're going to get me through today's storm. You'll get me through tomorrow's storm. Because your mercies are new. You're alive. You're a living God. You're a living Lord. And that is every day in my life. You are actively working on my behalf every single day. When I can't see you, I know you're working. When I can't hear you, I know you're speaking. God, when I don't see you moving, I know you're moving because you're God. And you're always active in my life. So I trust that beyond the misery that I'm going through. Because that misery will give way to his mercy as we begin to worship God and trust him. In fact, it says that here in a minute. Verse 24, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. God's what I need, right? Yes. So if I got God, I've got hope. Yes. If I know the Lord, I got hope no matter what else is going on. If I'm in the middle of my calamity, I've got the Lord. And that's all that matters. He is with me now until I take my last breath on this earth. Whenever that is, God is with me. He is my portion. And then look what he says in this next verse. It is good unto them that wait for him and to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Waiting doesn't mean we aimlessly wait with no intention of anything happening. It means we have an expectation something is going to happen. When you're waiting at Outback and have that little buzzer, or even you sitting there with the buzzer thinking, I'm going to wait. Ain't going to ever happen, though, but I'll wait. You're waiting with the expectation that that thing's going to scare the fire out of you when it goes off and vibrates. Brrr! Brrr! And those red lights start circling around. You are holding that in expectation of your number being called. Lewis, party of two? Yes. I'm expecting it. When you're waiting in line for something, if you're at Carowinds, you're not sitting there in a line waiting for an hour, just saying, well, I'm going to wait, but I won't get to ride it probably. No, you're waiting to ride it. You know your time's going to come. So you stand in 95-degree heat around screaming kids with sweat all on them, and everybody's hollering and yelling, and you're miserable, and you're dehydrated, and you just paid $90 to get in and wait an hour and a half to ride a 3.5-minute ride. But that's your thing. That's okay. And as you're standing there, you are waiting with the expectation that your turn's going to come. And guess what? It finally does. You're in line. Chick-fil-A line, right? Two of them now. You're waiting in that drive-thru. You know they'll get to you. Believe me, if anybody gets to you, Chick-fil-A will get to you. And they will get to you and take your order. You wait with expectation. The prophet is saying it's a good thing to expect God to show up. It's a good thing to expect God to move, because he is. His mercy is going to come in your misery. His healing is going to come in your sickness. His joy is going to come in your sorrow. You just patiently wait with expectation. God, you've got this, and I'm going to keep serving you. Jeremiah didn't stop serving God when it got hard. He didn't give on God when people persecuted him. He didn't stop preaching because people says, I don't believe you. Okay, I'm going to keep preaching it. And just so you know, this isn't the message, but you need to know this. The city of Jerusalem was captured and was in captivity for 70 years. And they took a lot of these people, the Babylonians, the one that attacked them, which is current day Iraq. And they seized Jerusalem, took prisoners of war with them back to Iraq, kept them there. And the temple was destroyed and all the buildings were destroyed. And Jerusalem was a reproach nationally and regionally, and they were defeated, and they were overcome, and they were destroyed. And yes, God allowed that to happen. He absolutely allowed that to happen. They did not turn from their sins. They did not change their ways. They kept worshiping false gods. They wouldn't listen to the prophet Jeremiah. They wouldn't listen to what he was trying to say. And yes, his prophecies were fulfilled, and they came to pass like he said. And he was part of that too. And that's why he was so sorrowful in Lamentations. He loved his city. He loved his nation. He loved his home. He loved his people. Now it's destroyed. Now they're scattered. Now they're in prison. Now they're in pain. Now they're broken. Now they're separated. And he's seeing this city in ashes when it could have been avoided if they would have turned and honored God. But he kept serving, and he kept preaching, and he kept proclaiming through persecution, through imprisonment. He kept towing the line and holding the word. I'm going to tell you something. He would not have had any popular votes if he was running for a position in politics. Jeremiah would not have won. Nobody really liked him. He had a few, I'm sure, liked him. But overall, you know why people didn't like him? He was a reminder of their sin. And we don't like that. That's why we're in this new movement now. And I'm just going to say it like it is. That's why we're in this new movement now of people that, if you know, wanting all their lifestyles to be validated and accepted as being okay. And then when they're not, and we don't do that, then we're the ignoramuses. You know, we're the idiots. We're the Beltway, Bible Belt Southern hicks that don't have no sense about us. and we don't understand. Look, the Word of God is the Word of God. That ain't going to change. And what it says in there, it says in there. And we understand there's things in our lives that we need to let God heal us from and deliver us from. But don't try to cover it up and pretend it doesn't exist or pretend it's okay and celebrate it. You know, the song don't say, celebrate your sin, celebrate. Celebrate your fornication, celebrate. Celebrate your cussing mouth, celebrate. Celebrate your nasty evil way, celebrate. Because you are a sinner, not a winner. I mean, it don't say that. You know? We celebrate Jesus. It's important that we stand our ground like Jeremiah did in hard times, and with love, we proclaim what the Word of God says. And we don't back down from it because people won't like us. It's like I said, they don't like you in those way. Think anybody really likes Nate? They don't like Nate. They pretend to. So Nate's need to preach the truth and tell them how it is. They don't like him anyway. So what's the big deal? At least they won't like him for a good cause. Right? I don't like that preacher. I don't like what they say. Here, Jeremiah reminded them of their sins, and they didn't want to deal with those sins and turn to God. It's called an R word, rebellion, is what that's called. Just rebellion. When your kids hit 10 years, why they start acting all different about 12 or 13? They get all sassy and they get all rebellious. Rebellious. It's in their nature. It's in our nature to rebel. Don't rebel against God. Jeremiah was broken and suffering, but he says, you know what? I recall and I've got hope. And those that wait on God shall quietly see his salvation. One more verse in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31. He also prophesied this, and this is good. This is, you know, 700, 800 years before Jesus came on the scene. Look at what he says. The days will come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judea. Not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, while my covenant they broke my covenant, although I was a husband to them, saith the Lord. So they broke the covenant the first time. God still loved them. This shall be the covenant I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts. Everybody say inward. That just sounds cool, don't it? Yeah, entered. Your inner parts. I want to put the covenant in your inner parts and in their hearts. You know, the best way we serve God is when our heart's been changed. We can have all the head nods we want. I know people can quote scriptures, and they know they can quote it better than I can. I'm not the greatest person to be able to tell you exactly where scripture's at, even as a pastor. I know a lot of scriptures, but there'll be times people, I don't know exactly where that's at. I know it's in this book, or, you know, I know it's in the Bible, but I don't know exactly where it's at. And they can quote scriptures, they can talk all the religious talk, but if their heart's not been changed, then they've not really been changed. We serve God because we want to. We serve God because we want to serve God, because this has been changed. We shouldn't serve God out of obligation. You know, we shouldn't come to church out of obligation. We shouldn't give our offerings out of obligation. We shouldn't worship out of obligation. You know, we shouldn't serve in the church out of obligation. We should serve. Nathan drums because I told him to drum. Nathan drums because he wants to drum. Marjorie plays the keyboard because she wants to serve God that way. We have teachers that back there because they want to serve. And Mr. Randy wants to serve. And the security team wants to serve out there protecting the church right now while we're here having the message. You know, because we want to. We have a heart. God has changed the covenant. He told Jeremiah, I'm going to put my covenant in their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And look at the last verse. And they shall teach no man more, every man his neighbor, every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. Isn't that what Jesus came to do? He prophesied this. You got to realize, now this, understand this. He was prophesying this in a time of such stringent legalism, to where the law had to be completely obeyed, and the priests did daily ministering and annual feast, in order to wipe away sin for the people. And now this prophet comes along saying, there's going to be a day your God is not going to remember your iniquities and remember your sins no more. That is our blessed hope as a Christian. That is our inheritance. That is our future. And that's why his mercy overcomes our misery. Because no matter how miserable you are right now, like Miss Betty, Randy's mom, those last few days she was out of it and just, you know, in pain and swelling and all, whatever misery she was in those last few days, God's mercy was greater. Because the mercy healed the misery. And his mercy will heal your misery. Whatever you're battling today, let God handle that. Let God fix that. Understand, if Jeremiah went through all this, I mean, man, I think as Christians, I think part of the problem is we've heard some of the wrong teaching to get us a little bit out of whack of what real life is. You read the Word of God, every disciple, Gordon, all 12 of them, by records you read, were martyred, were killed for the cause of Jesus. Killed. Heads cut off. People crucified. Stoned to death. Remember, Stephen literally was standing there and people took rocks and beat him till he died. And Stephen, the Bible says, was a virtuous man, a man full of what? The Holy Ghost. But yet he died. But the misery he had in those moments. Remember what Stephen says, he's getting beat. He says, I see heavens opened up and I see Jesus. Already God was opening up the other side to Stephen in the midst of his misery, letting him know, your misery is almost over. My mercy is coming to get you. My mercy is capturing you. My mercy is delivering you. My mercy is healing you. His mercy is greater than your misery. Let God have it and wait patiently with expectation that your number's going to be called and that there's going to be a day I'll be happy, happy, happy. There'll be a day the joy's going to come. Sorrow for a night, right? But joy come in the morning, and boy, it does. Right. I promise you, joy comes in the morning. What a day, like the old song says, what a day that will be when the face of Jesus I shall see. Yes. What a wonderful day that'll be. And that's all of our promise. I know sometimes we don't like talking about those things. You know, they're kind of taboo. They're kind of, man, you can bring me down, preacher, man. Bringing me down today, brother. How can this bring you down? We're talking about the covenant God made with his people. That no matter what misery I'm going through, it ain't going to last. It ain't going to last. It's very, very temporary. His mercy is going to rescue all of us in the end. All of us are going to be rescued from the captivity of our misery, whatever that is, and going to be changed and glorified forevermore. That's a covenant we have in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So be happy in your misery.
That's right.
Because I'm telling you, God's got this. And God's got you. I promise you. What'd you say, Stacy?
I'm crying and laughing at the same time.
Oh, got you. Oh, yeah. Yeah, be happy in your misery. Yeah. In our life like that sometimes, we don't know whether to cry or laugh. We're so miserable, it's almost funny if it wasn't us. So we cry. Oh, man, God is good. And all the time, Mindy? Oh, man, trust him, church. It's going to get better. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. Keep your eyes upon him. Your help comes from him, and he will help you through whatever you're battling, I promise. God loves you, and God's not forsaken you, and God has not left you. God is part of this process with you. God is part of what you're battling and going through right now. Life can be unfair, but I promise you, if we could see the future, what God has in store for us, and if we could see what God's already kept us from, if we could see where we would have been without God, man, think how different our lives would be. You know, I think for my wife, you know, I started praying for a wife when I was about 17, 18 years old. I started praying for God to send me the right person because I really wanted a good woman. And I got one most days. And I started praying, and as a little girl, I didn't know this then, but as a little girl, Melanie was going to church by herself on her own. Her family moved around some, and anywhere they would move, if there was a church Melanie could walk to or get a bus to, she did that. And she would catch that little bus, and she would walk to that little church. It really didn't matter what she was. I mean, she went to Pentecostal churches, Baptist churches, I don't know what kind of, maybe meth. I don't know what she wants. She's wanting to go to church. And I think about that little girl at 6, 7 years old, you know, walking up the block to a church or catching a little church bus coming by on her own, getting up on Sunday mornings, getting dressed. You know, God had his hand on her life as a child. God had a plan and a purpose for her as a child. I'm going to church at 6 or 7 years old too. I'm not walking. Yeah, I had a car. but I'm going with mom and dad. And as I'm going to church over here, Melanie's going to this little church over here. As I'm sitting there listening to my preacher, getting popped by my mom, I'm probably moving around talking. Melanie had no mom to pop her. She's just sitting there moving all around. No discipline whatsoever. But at the same time, we're going to church as kids and didn't know it. And Melanie didn't have to go to church. But there was something in her that made her want to do that. That was God's hand upon her life doing that. God has a purpose and plan for each of us. Trust the plan and trust the process, though the process is painful sometimes. Man, the process can be painful. But wait on him and expect that God is going to cover your misery with his mercies, just like he did Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah's story didn't end well. I don't know if I'll tell you or not because y'all want to hide right now, right? Jeremiah did see Jesus. We know that, right? We know he saw God. Okay, he's in heaven. Hey, Jeremiah, you know, he's good. But in the end, Jeremiah did die, like all of us, by this way go unless the Lord returns. But Jeremiah actually, it's not in the Bible, but if you do some studying, it's in some recorded records of history that Jeremiah was actually killed by some of his own fellow countrymen, was killed in the end by his own fellow countrymen. And his whole life was a life of a lot of suffering. But you know what? He's not suffering anymore. Great is his reward for 40 years of staying steadfast to preaching God's word. Because God told him in Jeremiah 1:5, I formed you in your mother's womb, called you by name, called you out to be a prophet unto the nations. And he did, and he was. So none of our lives in here, I don't think, are as bad as Jeremiah's. And so you know what? There is hope. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Maybe that should have been my title. Hallelujah, I'm not Jeremiah. Might have changed that title, Mom. Hallelujah, I'm not Jeremiah. That might have been a little better one. But his mercy does cover your misery.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Margie, come on up here and play a little something. Let us stand together. Let's pray together this morning as a church. I know many of us are battling a lot of things, and some of you are in a bad place maybe this morning. Yes, Amberin is having a major back surgery Friday down in Charlotte. So it'll be about a 4 or 5 hour surgery. Right. So yeah, let's pray for Brenda for sure. Remember her Friday morning. I know she's very, very nervous. Father, as we close this part of our service out, we just pray that we feel your mercies in this place today. In our misery, God, in our pain, in our struggle, all the things that we're facing, we need hope and we need help. And we know that you are that hope and you are that help. And God, we give it to you this morning. We wait, God, with expectation right now as we stand in your presence. That you will pour upon our lives right now your sweet mercy that overshadows our misery, overshadows our struggles and our fears. It overshadows our doubts and our unbeliefs. It overshadows the pain of our lives. Let your mercy, God, fill this place in a brand new way, in a special way. Your anointing cover us, God, in the name of Jesus, that we walk out of here feeling strengthened and elevated, because we know though our misery may continue, your mercies don't run out. And you've got more mercy than we have misery. And we thank you for that, God, that you are the healer of all things. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
We don't deserve another chance. We thank God won't give us a second glance. Every mistake that you've made, there is an ocean of grace. Mercy is waiting with arms open wide when your heart is breaking. when life's broken dreams are hard to mend. Lift up your head and believe. Through eyes of faith you will see. Mercy is waiting with arms open wide.
Mercy endures forever and ever. The Bible says that one chapter has it every verse. It's a chapter in, is that in Psalms or Proverbs? Has it in every verse. His mercy doeth forever. Mercy doeth every verse that mentions it. His mercy does endure forever. So you hang on and you wait with expectation. Y'all be seated this morning. Ushers, come on up, receive our morning giving, get you out of here for the day. Yes. Prime timers, Thursday morning, 10 o'clock, be here at the church. That's for the 55 or older. You are welcome. Never been before, make it your first time. The only qualification is you got to be breathing and be 55. So that's it. Not a big stipulation there. So where are you eating at this week? K&W, y'all. Yes, you'll be waiting with expectation. I thought you were going to appear to help sing. I'm like, oh, okay, awesome. Father, we thank you for this time of giving. We ask that you open our hearts, God, to give with what you've called us to give, Lord, with that expectation that you're honoring this gift and that you're blessing your kingdom as we sow a seed. We give you honor and praise for being so good to us. Thank you, Lord. Bless this seed and use it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.